Gospel according to St. John, chapter 4. And it's from verse 1 to 26 that I intend to read. And it's a story that I believe we all know very much, about the woman of Samaria who met Jesus by the well. It says, when therefore the Lord knew the Pharisees had the Jesus knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed into Galilee, and he must need to go through Samaria. Then come to a city of Samaria which is called Sychar, near the parcels of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus at the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples has gone from the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, hast drink of water of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, who is it that said unto thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drink thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither go either to draw. And Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come either. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast said well, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou seest truly. And the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our father worshipped in the mountain, and ye said that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in the mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I speak unto thee, am he. Amen. The Lord bless the reading of his word. The topic this morning is open my eyes. The topic that the Lord has laid in my heart and I'm sharing with you this morning is open my eyes. And it's a continuation from our message that God is the God of the universe. There's a song we normally sing, and I think we sing it in this church as well. I know we sing it. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. to reach out and touch him, to say that I love him. Open my eyes, Lord, I want to be. I want to see. Can you put that song up again? Let's take that song once again. Just take that song. Let's take that song together. Yes, please, if you can. Thank you. Open my eyes, Lord. Yeah, I think we know it. You know the one. I want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, to say that I open my ears, Lord, and help me to listen. Open my eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Open my eyes, Lord, we want. Out and touch me, to say that we love me. Open my ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open eyes, Lord, we want to see. Thank you, bro. That song just sums up everything that I want to talk about this morning. It's an interesting reading that woman met Jesus Christ and she did not know who he was. One of the greatest philosophers in Greek history is called Archimedes, and one of the words he used was that Eureka, I have found it. And I was looking through the encyclopedia and they said that word I have found it is ascribed to him. But I look at it and I laugh because I know that before he found whatever he discovered, the word I have found it has been there in the scripture. Remember, John saw Jesus coming and he said, this is the Lamb of God who came to save, to take away the sins of the world. Many people that came in contact with God boldly said, I have found God. And the Old Testament, the easiest one was Jacob. He was lying down there and he was seeing angels descending and ascending, and he found God. So ascribing that word to the Greek philosopher is not enough. Eureka is basically finding God, and not just a mathematical theory, but finding God. And God has always been available to be found. He's always been available to be found. He said, if you seek me, you will find me. going forward from where we stopped last Sunday, I just want us to look at the importance of the Holy Spirit in our journey in 2020 and how it allows us to be able to find God, how it opens our eyes to understand God. Like I said, that woman at the well saw Jesus, but did not know him. That's the question I'm going to ask each and every one of us. And people out there, how many times have we come in contact with a message of God? Like we said, he is a God of the universe. He speaks into our situation. Last week we said that. But how many times have you heard that word and you did not know that God was speaking? How many times have you sat down in a situation and God was speaking to you, giving you the answer, the solution to the problem right in front of you, and you did not understand that God was speaking? How many times have you been like Jacob, that you are lying down in Bethel and angels are ascending and descending, and you did not know that God was there? How many times? Jesus, in talking to the woman at the well, he said, God is a spirit, and those that must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. So, what does that make us understand? It is not possible to see God with our physical eyes. Our mental mind is not enough to fathom God. Our knowledge, academic knowledge, is not enough to understand who God is. And I've said this several times. You can read the Bible as a literature. You can read it from Genesis to Revelation. As a literature, you will not find God in the Bible. Jesus said in his prayer, he said, in his prayer in John 17, verse 17, I've alluded to the fact that I read that chapter this week. He said, sanctify them by the truth. He says, your word is truth. There's a correlation between the spiritual understanding of God and the word of God. There's something that is more important, that is very cogent, how God made this plan that the word and the spirit should work together. There's something that is so that God, it was in the plan of God that for you to see God's work, you need the spirit of God. How do I know this? Creation was the word and the spirit. There was no creation without the spirit. Genesis 1, chapter 2, from verse chapter 1, from verse 2, says that in the beginning, God he said, the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the earth. And God spoke into the Spirit and said, let there be, and there was. It was the combination of the Word and the Spirit that brought about creation. So, what am I saying, brethren? What I'm saying to you this morning is that for you to be able to achieve the plan of God, for you to be able to understand the God of the universe, for you to be able to effectively carry out his plan and purpose in your life, which is written for you, you need the Spirit to be able to understand the Word. Without the Spirit, you're nothing. He said, it is the Spirit that giveth life. It's the Spirit that giveth life. The flesh profited not. The word I speak to you, they are life and their spirit. That's what he said to you. So we have if we have to experience God of the universe in 2020, we need to allow the Spirit of God to open our eyes and mind to the Word of God. Like I said when I started, there are many times God drops a word in our heart, in our situation, but we are still looking for solution when he had already given us the solution. It's not just yourself. It happens to me as well. So I'm preaching to myself. I'm not just preaching to you. At times you sit down there and you start thinking, how do I solve this problem? You start thinking, where do I find solution to this problem? And right there in front of you is the word of God telling you what to do. But because your mental mind is thinking that, look, I've got to find a solution because I know the solution to this. I have done this several times before and I know how I used to do it. And therefore, you leave the word of God, you leave the Spirit of God that is speaking to you, and you continue to look at things from your physical eyes. But those that must worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Those that must worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. 2020 is not a year where you are just going to coast. This year, you want to go to higher ground. And to go to higher ground, you need to be in the spiritual relationship with God. You need to be at that point where your spirit is in conformity with God, because this is the plan of God. He wants us to be at par with him. He wants us to rise up spiritually to that point where we are able to receive his plan and purpose. There is a connection between man and God, and that is the spirit. Man, the Bible says, God breathed into man his own breath, the spirit. He breathed it into man, and that was what made man a living soul. So as a living soul, you need to connect with your life giver. And the only way to connect is to stay in the spiritual realm. You cannot walk this journey with your mind, with your mental mind. You cannot walk this journey with your physical eyes. And when we say, open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. I want to touch him, to just feel it. It's interesting. That song, each time I sing that song, I just look at the songwriter and said, to reach out and touch him. Jesus is no longer here. How do I reach out and touch him? How do I connect with Jesus? Those that must serve, those that must worship God, must worship him in spirit and in truth. And spiritual worship is not just when you sing. Because you might think, oh, he's talking about worship. It's not just when you sing. It's not just when we have times of worship. It's a continuous way of life. Remember what Psalm 100 says. We are the sheep of his pasture. He created us purposely for us to continue to worship him. So our daily life is about worshiping God. Our work life is about worshiping God. Our home life is about worshiping God. Everything that we do brings glory, or should bring glory to God. So where we want to bring glory to God, we need to be connecting with God. Amen. We need to be in that connection, in that relationship with God. While ordinary man will look at you and I may say, while the ordinary man like you and I may look at God's word with our physical eyes, the spirit man will see God's word with his spiritual eyes and mind. And how do they see it? They don't just see it as a written word. They see it as a rhema word. A word in season. A word that is meant for me. A word that applies to me. Not just a word that is written for King David or for Samuel or for the Philippians. It is a word that is written for me. And the only way you can feel that sense is when you allow God, you allow the Spirit of God to take control of your mind. Let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus was constantly in the spiritual. He was constantly, although he was a physical man, but he was a spiritual man. He was constantly in the spiritual. He had a connection with the Father. He said one thing to the disciple, which is very interesting. He said, whatever I do is not what I want to do. It's what I've been told to do. Does that make sense? Whatever I do is not what I want to do. It's what I've been told to do. And he was saying it to the disciples, that, look, it's not me. It's not just what I wish to do, but I'm doing the will of my Father who has sent me. Can you say that about yourself? Can I say that about myself? Am I doing the will of my Father? If I say God is my Father, and God is the God of the universe, am I doing the will of my Father? Am I living according to the will of my Father? This is the situation we've been in as individual and as a church. Sometimes we've journeyed this journey with our own head knowledge. If we do things this way, the church will be this way. If we do that this way, the church will be this way. But I can tell you one thing. Last year challenged me. And I keep saying that the roof fund continued to challenge me. That a small church like this could raise that money. I will say it and say it again. That is God. That is God. It is not a head knowledge. Because when you look at it, and the head knowledge will say to you, as a physical man, I will say to you, how many people are in this church that can afford to even make such contribution? What are we looking at? Where do we think we're going to start from? But look at the way God has worked with us. If he can do that with the roof fund, how much more can he not do with our lives? If we say we serve him, if we call him our God, how much more can he not do with our own person? How much more can he not do with our home and with our jobs? How much more can he not do with everything that is facing us? God wants to use us for his glory, but he wants us to be in that connection with him. Those that must serve him in spirit and in truth. Those that must worship him. God cannot be seen in the physical eye. There's a creed that I think is an Anglican creed that we used to read when we were small. It says that God is a spirit. Do you know it? There's a creed that says God is spirit. Though I see him not, he sees me. He knows all things, and he's omniscient and omnipresent. That's what the creed was saying. That's what the creed says in a nutshell. That God is a spirit, and I see him not, but he sees me. And because he's omnipresent, he's omniscient, and that's the way the creed goes. But that's who God is. But then the Bible says he's given us that freedom, that liberty to see, to constantly be in connection with him. That connection can never be broken if we allow ourselves to be in the spiritual realm with him. A good example are the disciples of Jesus. They stood there. They didn't know who Jesus was. They themselves did not know who Jesus was. Jesus said, who do men say I am? And they were like, hang on, another prophet, another this, another that. But Peter looked to Jesus And he said, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus, the answer that Jesus gave him was very important. He said, it is not the flesh that has revealed this to you, but it's the Spirit. Jesus knew that there was no physical eyes that could have known who he was. So he was taken aback, because at that time, the disciples have not received the Holy Spirit. He was taken aback and like, you have now understood what the Spirit has put in your heart, what you need to know. And what did he say to the disciples when they came down from the mountain and they were trying to cast out demon and they couldn't do it? He said, flesh and blood cannot do this. You can't do this on the physical. Your ability to pray or to shout or to is not it. But you have to connect to God in the Spirit. You have to sing in the Holy Spirit. You have to pray in the Holy Spirit. You have to allow the Spirit. He said, we don't even know how to pray, but the Spirit, through the groaning of our heart, speaks, intercede for us. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to take control, because you serve the God of the universe. You serve the God that created all things. You serve the God that lives and reigns in the affairs of men. You serve the God that created everything by His Spirit and His Word. Amen. That's how He created everything, by His Spirit and His Word. So you don't just need the Word, you need the Spirit to teach you the Word. Amen. You need the Spirit to interpret the Word in your life. As I go on, I want us to quickly look at three good examples in the Scripture, and the woman at the well will be one of them as well. Second King, 2 Kings chapter 6, from verse 8 to 17. 2 Kings chapter 6, from verse 8 to 17, is a very interesting story of a prophet and a servant, Elijah. He had a servant who was with him. And what is interesting about that story was the fact that they were surrounded. Elijah was a prophet who God was using to assist the king of Israel. And they were revealing secrets of the king of Syria to the king of Israel. And the king of Syria was very powerful, very, very powerful. And he thought, how come? How do these people know that I'm going to do these things? How did they get to know all the plans, all my military, military tactics that I've prepared and everything? How did they know it? And 2 Kings chapter 6, from verse 8 to 17. And how did they know these things? And someone told him, there's a prophet called Elijah. Elijah, and he's a very strong prophet. He's always revealing things. And you know what? He sent his army and said, let's go and arrest that man. Let's go and surround him. And the servant saw the armies coming around their camp. I was like, wow, my master, we are done. We've taken the wrong step now. Now the armies are surrounding us. We're doomed now. There's nothing we can do. And Elijah said, Lord, open his eyes. Let him see. And his eyes was open. And he saw the armies of God surrounding them. He saw the armies of God keeping watch over them. Just as the great wall, that psalm that says that, just as the great wall surrounds Jerusalem, he will send his angels to surround you. He saw the armies of God surrounding them. And his eyes was open. And he was shocked. He was like, wow, this is wonderful. And he couldn't believe it. Because it was not just the army. The Bible says, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around Elijah. Verse 17. The mountain, chariots of fire. So the army of Syria were carrying their horses and their swords and everything, but they had chariots of fire. God opened the servant's eyes. Why don't you pray for God to open your eyes to see his angels that surrounds you every day? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. They saw this miraculous, mighty move of God, and they were surprised. And the servant immediately knew that there was no way the king of Syria would have overpowered them. And then, another good example that I want to show to us is Matthew 14, verse 22 to 33. This is a New Testament story of Peter, one of Jesus' disciples. After Jesus has finished preaching on the mount, they went on the boat and Jesus did not go with them. Then all of a sudden, they saw someone walking on water. Matthew 14, verse 22. They saw someone walking on water. And they were afraid. And they called out and Jesus said, "No, don't be afraid, I am Jesus." And Peter said, "Oh, if you're Jesus then, call me to walk with you. Call me out, let me walk on water like you did." And Jesus called him, and he walked on water. The Bible says that while his eyes was on Jesus, he was walking on water. While his eyes was on Jesus, he was walking on water. But the moment he took his eyes off Jesus, he started sinking. It started sinking, and Jesus had to rescue him. What does that say to us? Constantly, our gaze in 2020 should be on Jesus. Trouble will come. Tribulations will come. Trials will come. But do not take your eyes off Jesus. Your eyes is open to see Jesus, to feel and to touch him, to say that you love him. But the devil understood very much that the only way he can get you is by distracting you. So he would throw everything at you. You know, as a child, we used to play this play where you want to get someone's attention and you start throwing things at them. And maybe in classroom, I was a naughty boy in school, yes. So you start throwing papers at your mate in front and you start throwing papers at them like, so that you can distract them. Because it's those ones that love reading that sit in the front. We that we don't love reading, we sit at the back. So you start throwing papers at them. And to get their attention, that's what the devil does. He's throwing things at you like, you know, oh, sickness, money trouble, disappointment. He's just throwing things at you so that you can take your eyes off Jesus. But one thing is sure, that no matter what you go through, he said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So you need to know that there is no distraction in this journey. There is no distraction in this journey. No matter what comes across, no matter what comes my way, my God is the God of the universe. He owns everything. The mountains and the hills belong to him. Everything belongs to him. So why do I need to worry myself? I don't need to get myself concerned and worried about anything, because I know that he will meet all my needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. I know that he will never leave me nor forsake me. I know he will bless my water and my bread. I know that his promises are yea and amen. I know that. I know that. So I'm not worried about what the devil throws at me. And therefore, I am not ready to take my eyes of Jesus in 2020. No matter what may come my way, I'm not ready to take my eyes off Jesus in 2020. I'm advising you and I'm admonishing you this morning. Let this be your position as well. Let your eyes be fixed on Jesus. 2020 is your year. The woman at the well. Another incident. Another story. He met Jesus. Yes, she's a Samaritan woman, so she doesn't know who Jesus was. So as a result, she didn't even know what he was saying. Maybe part of what he was saying, she didn't understand. But remember, look at something that is interesting there. She was a church woman. In the whole Jewish tradition, she was a church woman because she knows that that well belonged to Jacob. So she knows. There's a knowledge there. There's a head knowledge that, hang on, there's a knowledge of this well, how it came about. There's a knowledge of worship as well that she knows. There's so many things that that woman knows, and that is what she was using to counter Jesus. To her, she has a basic knowledge of everything, but spiritually, she had no clue. There's so many of us in church that had the knowledge. We know what worship is all about. We know that there is a well that is dug by Jacob. We know all these things. We know the tradition and acts of church, but we don't know the spirit, the life-giving spirit that is in God. And because we don't know the life-giving spirit, we go about our life just as normal church life. Sunday morning, I come into church, I do my prayer, and I read my Bible, and I go back home, and I close my Bible, I leave it there, and I just... But then, without the Spirit, we cannot do anything. Jesus then said to her, those that must worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Those that must worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That woman encounter with Jesus changed her life to the point where after she had those encounters and those experiences, she went back and told the whole community. She became an apostle. I think before any of the disciples became an apostle, she was the first apostle. She went back and told him, I have found a man who knows everything about me. I've just found that man. Look, guys, you're here, but I've seen somebody. I've seen the Messiah. He knows everything about me. He was able to tell everyone that this is the Savior because he had had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, you've had an encounter with Jesus Christ, but are you allowing the Spirit to minister Jesus into your life? Those that must worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. This year, I want to encourage us to keep our eyes on Jesus. Don't let anything distract you. It's a dangerous thing to take our eyes off Jesus. It's very dangerous. And that's what Peter experienced. Peter, the moment he took his eyes off Jesus, he started sinking. A lot of things will happen. A lot of things will cause you to doubt your faith sometimes. But remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So if you're waiting to see things happen before you believe, then you are not there yet. Because the Holy Spirit is not there in you. Battles will come, challenges will come. But one thing is that, as we said last week, and as Dave Thompson said to us before, some of these battles are what is in the valley to bring us to the mountaintop. They are things to make us grow. They are things to make us rise. What we need to do in this year is to trust God as God that created all things, and that He can make all things well. 2020 is your year. And I believe this with my heart. 2020 is the year of each and every one of us in this church, and this church as well. But we need to trust God. We need to allow the Spirit of God to speak into our heart. We need to trust His word. We need to listen to him when he speaks to us. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Jesus.
We're up.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Spirit that quickens makes alive. Jesus said, the prophet, the flesh, prophets, only a little bit. The flesh prophets.